Blog Talk Radio.
The Kingdom Builders International broadcast. This is Evangelist Hannah, and I will return in a moment. Please continue to enjoy the music. God, glory to God, hallelujah, Jesus, you're truly worthy of all the glory. and all the honor and all the praise. And again, this is Evangelist Hannah with Kingdom Builders International. And tonight we have Apostle Carl Flowers, Sr. Glory be to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. He is the pastor, along with his wife, Prophetess Angie Flowers, from the Repairer of the Breach International Ministry, located 11201 South Cottage Grove Avenue, Chicago, Illinois, in the upper room. Glory to God. This is a real treat. The man of God actually was on last Monday, and God truly, truly used him. Glory to God. And I give a shout-out to Prophetess Teresa. She is the founder of Kingdom Builders International. Glory to God. Apostle, are you on the line?
Amen. God bless you. I'm here. God bless you, Evangelist.
God bless you also, man of God. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I just plead the blood of Jesus over the apostle tonight. I thank you that no weapon formed against him shall prosper. I thank you that the word of God shall go forth unhindered and unchecked by any outside forces in the name of Jesus, God. I plead the blood over the phone lines, Lord God, over the internet, Lord God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord God. And I thank you, Lord God, there will be no distractions, Lord God. I thank you, Father God, for the man of God and the right now word that you have in his belly for us tonight, Father God. And at this time, Apostle, I yield the line to you.
Amen. Well, praise the Lord. God bless you again, Evangelist. Thank God for you and you having me on the broadcast. Amen. I just want to encourage the people of God, those that are listening by way of their telephones or cell phones, internet, you're listening and tuning in, we thank God for you. And I just always like to encourage the people of God to be in high expectation. Be expecting and looking for God to move for you. Be expecting and looking for the Lord to move for you even on tonight. Whenever you have the man or the woman of God come before you, you're not looking at them. Don't look at them as a person, but look at them as a representative. They represent the kingdom of God. They're ambassadors for the Lord. They're God's mouthpiece. God is speaking through the man of God. God is speaking through the woman of God to deliver the word of the Lord to you and what he is saying unto the church. So I even pray, even on tonight, that your eyes and the eyes of your understanding will be enlightened on tonight. And I pray that the wisdom of God will be released even also into your life, and that you receive the answers that you have been looking for so far as why you've been going through what you've been going through. You don't understand different things that you've been facing in your life and everything. And I just pray that God will begin to release a revelation into your life on this line on tonight through the telephone, through the internet, through Skype. Like I said, however that you may be listening and receiving right now, again, just be in high expectation, put a demand. I always like to tell the people, God, put a demand on the anointing. You know, here in America, we got kind of lazy and passive and so on and everything. We really don't put a demand on the man of God or the woman of God, and we really don't pull. We really don't be hungry like we used to. We just go and just look at it, you know, church and hear the word and just, oh, you know, I'm just going to go and hear the word of God and just, you know, sit there and hear a good message and just give and just go back home, you know, just follow the same routine every week, Sunday service, weekday Bible study, you know, come together for, you know, an event during the week or something like that with no expectation at all. And I tell you, coming up in the church when I was truly born again and called into the ministry supernaturally, called by the Lord Jesus Christ himself, I like to call it my Damascus Road experience. I had my Damascus Road experience and everything, and truly I was brought up in a church and everything, but I did not have a relationship with the Lord. I had religion, but not a relationship. And it wasn't until I had my supernatural encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ, I began to have a relationship with him. I began to fellowship with him and begin to learn about him through the word of God and everything, and prayer and communication and spending time with him. I began to get to know him, and not just know about him, but know him, the only one and true and living God. You know, I had a messed up mindset, a messed up thought. My way of thinking was just all messed up, perverted, and everything when it came to God. I did not acknowledge Jesus Christ, but I tell you, when I got into trouble, the first thing I called on was Jesus Christ. I would call on Jesus and say the blood for him to get me out of my situation or get me out of whatever I was going through. But then once Jesus got me out of my situation, my problem, then I go back to my same ways, doing my same sins, doing what I wanted to do, and I really didn't acknowledge Jesus. I said, well, if God is almighty, why do I need to acknowledge the Son? Now, I should have known better. Me being brought up in church and everything, Sunday school, when I was young, I mean, I knew all the books, the 60 books of the Bible, I can name them from Genesis all the way to Revelation and so on and everything, not skip a beat. But here I am, was taught well and everything, but yet I had this mindset of, you know, if God is almighty, why do I need to acknowledge the Son? And that was an antichrist spirit that the enemy had me operating out of and attacking me with and everything. And what are you saying, preacher? What do you mean an antichrist spirit? Don't you mean you got to have a mark of the beast, you know, the 3 6s to be an antichrist? No, if you don't believe in Jesus Christ, that means you're anti, you know, you're against. You know, you don't believe in the anointing. You know, you're on the opposite side. And so that's how I was. I did not believe. And so the Lord had to come and to deliver me from that attitude. So when I had my encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, he began to let me know that he was the way, the truth, and the life, that no man can come unto the Father except but by him. It was through him that I can be able to come to the Father. That was in John 14:6. You know, God always reveal himself and show himself, back himself up through his word. When God speaks to you, it's going to be according to his word. He's going to back himself from the word of God. But I want to encourage you, saints of God, that are listening to me. Again, what I'm trying to say is, what you're trying to say, preacher, is what I'm saying is, have high expectations in God. Believe God. When you hear the word of God going forth, put a demand, pour. You have people in other nations that travel 3 days, that travel hours. If they hear a man or a woman of God from the states coming into their country, which is a foreign land, they would travel hours and days to get there just so they can hear the word of God. They're just that hungry. They're just that desperate to hear the word, to get a miracle from God. But here in America, you know, it's like we don't care. And so we just gonna hear the word and that's it. You know, nothing, no expectation, nothing. But God is changing all that. God wants us to be hungry for him. God wants us to be thirsty for him. God yet wants to ignite the miracles again here in our nation. God yet wants to reveal his Shekinah glory in our local assemblies, not just in our local church houses, but also when the saints of God gather together in houses or in the community, in the neighborhood, wherever we may lift up the name of Jesus and begin to acknowledge him in all the ways. The word of God said, if Jesus said, if I be lifted up from the earth, then I will draw men unto me. And as we begin to lift up the name of Jesus, begin to lift him up from the earth, he is the one that's going to draw men unto him. And the only way he's going to do that is through signs and wonders, because you have those that will not believe. Amen. Except you begin to operate and begin to move in signs and wonders. God is restoring the ministry gifts. God is restoring the fivefold ministry gift, because you have some denominations that don't believe in the fivefold ministry gifts. They only believe in part of the ministry gift. They said, well, the apostles were done away with, the prophets were done away. It's just the pastors, the teachers, and the evangelists. And yes, the bishops, but, you know, apostles and prophets, nah, you know, that was just gone back when the apostles and Jesus back in their time, when they died out, that was just it. It's all gone. It's all over. No more. That, you know what? That's not over with. The word of God said the first shall be last and the last shall be first. You know, this age is going to be closed out by the apostles and by the prophets and by the lay members, the saints of God. It's not just only going to be by the ministry gifts, but it's going to be by you, saints of God, you that are believers in Jesus Christ. But what I'm trying to say is, put a demand on the gifts of God that are standing before you. They cannot move in their best. They cannot flow in their best if there's no demand there. Jesus could not do no great works in Nazareth, where he was at, you know, because they didn't believe. They were like, oh, you know, they didn't really believe and stuff like that. They knew him. They knew his family and all that. That's the little carpenter's son and so on and everything. So Jesus could not do many great miracles in his own hometown and everything. Why? Because there was no expectation. They got familiar with him. A lot of times we get familiar with our pastors, we get familiar with our leaders and so on and everything. Then when God began to use them and they began to stand before you to give you the word of the Lord, but because you're so familiar with them and there's a spirit of familiarity in operation, then you're at a place that you cannot receive from them, and God can't really move in your life, because why, you're familiar with them and, oh, that's just sister so-and-so, oh, that's just brother so-and-so. Now you done downgraded them. Now you just completely just dismiss them and so on, and just and call them brother or call them sister, and now God cannot really move for you the way that he desired to move for you in your life. Amen. But I know you're wondering, why, preacher, why are you going there? Why are you going there? What I'm trying to do, I'm trying to stir your faith up. I'm trying to stir the hunger up on the inside of you, amen, to believe God for the impossible, because God wants to do the impossible in your life. Many of you have been facing impossible situations. Your heart pressed, your back is up against the wall, and God wants to move for you. And as God told Moses, what do you have in your hand? When he was trapped in the children of Israel between the Red Sea and the desert and Pharaoh's army coming at them, they had no place to go. They were hollering, they were crying, and these are people that saw the mighty hand of God move right in the midst of them. They saw the handiwork of God. They saw the miracles of God, the finger of God moving right in the midst of them, but yet they still complained, they murmured, they doubted. They didn't have any belief. They saw the very powers of God at work right before their very eyes, and here they are pressed up against the sea and the desert, and so on. And so Moses began to consult the Lord concerning what should we do, God, what should I do, and so on. And God just had to tell him, use what's in your hand, use what you got. And I'm here to tell you on tonight, God wants you to use what you got. Use what's in your hand, what the Lord has given you, amen, against the enemy. Don't begin to draw back. Don't begin to fear. Don't allow the enemy to get you into a place of murmuring and complaining and looking at your situation or looking at your circumstances, because he wants you to be distracted. He wants you to focus in on that. And again, I know you're like, well, preacher, well, I understand all that. Where you going again with all that? But I want to tell you on tonight that God has a miracle for you. And before I get into the word, that wasn't even the word of God. But basically what I'm saying is that's not the word that God was having me to minister on tonight, but God was just having me to go there because someone needed to hear that on tonight. But we're about to get into the word of God and what the Lord was giving me for the people of God. But before we do that, I just want to have a quick word of prayer right quick before we get into the word. Amen. Heavenly Father, we bow and worship and praise before you. We cover ourselves with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ as our protection. We surrender ourselves completely and unreservedly in every area of our life to you. We stand against all the works of Satan which would hinder us, our prayer life, and daily walk with you. We desire only to follow the one and true and only living God. We refuse any involvement with Satan. In Jesus' name, Satan, we command you and all your demons to depart from us, and we cancel all your plans, your wiles, and demonic arrows in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We bring our faith and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ between us. We resist every effort of Satan and his wicked spirits to confuse or block us or from the will of God, in every effort that Satan has tried to bring our way, every wicked spirit to confuse, in the name of Jesus, we command it to go right now. We choose to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. We pull down all of Satan's strongholds that he has placed against us. In the name of Jesus this day, we cancel every assignment of the enemy over the people of God right now. Father, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. Father, we humble ourselves before you, God. We can do nothing without you. We are helpless without you, God. Father, I pray that the anointing of the Lord be released, God, in the name of Jesus, unto the hearers, God, those that are standing in need of you. Father God, those that need a miracle from you on tonight, God, I pray right now that you begin to move, God, because it is the anointing that breaks and destroys the yoke. And I pray that you are going to break and destroy every yoke on tonight that is listening, God. I command your people, God, to be loose from the bands of wickedness, to be loose from spirits of oppression, that every heavy burden be lifted right now in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you, Lord God, for loosing your people, God, from chains of shackles, Lord, feathers, in the name of Jesus. I command it to be broken right now in the name of Jesus, for deliverance is the children's bread. We thank you, Lord, for the mantle of deliverance, God, the atmosphere of deliverance being released on tonight, God. Those minds that are bound up by the enemy, by mind control, I command it to be loose right now, that will hinder them, try to block them from receiving the word in the name of Jesus. I come against mental illness on tonight in the name of Jesus, that bloodline divine curse of mental illness. I break it right now in the name of Jesus through the family line, in the name of Jesus. Oh, I break the powers of darkness that is operating in the people of God's life on tonight to try to hinder them, to try to delay their blessings in the name of Jesus. I command them to loose it right now in the name of Jesus. For the blessings of the Lord make you rich and out of no sorrow with it in the name of Jesus. I come against spirits of poverty, lack, and want, those that have been going through in their finances, God, those that have money tied up in the court system in the name of Jesus, inheritance tied up. I command it to be released and loose right now on tonight in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father, for moving in favor of the people of God concerning resources and finances. Father, I decree, I declare unexpected money to be released in the hands of your people, God, even on tonight, God, in the name of Jesus. I thank you for doors of opportunity being opened, God, for the people of God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you, we praise you, God, and even those, God, that is in ministry, Lord. Father, I thank you, Lord God, for what you're doing, Lord, even in their lives, God, where you're taking the people of God, Lord, those that are of the kingdom, God, those that are kingdom-minded, God. And I pray, Lord God, as it is in heaven, so let it be done here in earth, God, your perfect will, God, in the name of Jesus, in the lives of your people, and those that don't know their purpose, those that don't know their destiny, God, those that have been asking, looking for direction, seeking, God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray, God, that you would cause them, God, to know what they were sent here in this earth realm to do, God, that they would no longer wander from place to place, God, that they will no longer, God, be a person off to themselves like a loner in the name of Jesus and not connected with the body, not connected with the church. I command that spirit of deception to loose them in the name of Jesus. For the word of God declares that our inheritance is among those whom are sanctified. In the name of your blessing is with the people of God. In the enemy comes to divide the church. The enemy comes to divide the people of God because he knows there's power in unity. And I come against disunity in the body. I come against these barriers in the body of Christ, in the name of Jesus. I release an apostolic and prophetic anointing upon this line on tonight, Lord. Let your prophetic winds blow, God. Let the gifts of the Spirit be stirred, God. I charge your people on tonight to rise up, God, and to do what you have called for them to do, that they will not be complacent, God. They will not be passive in the name. They will not be lethargic, God, in the name of Jesus, or in the Mexico Daisy state. In the name, I command them to be loose from it right now. They will not be fearful. I rebuke fear in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you and we praise you for it right now. And we ask all these things in thy Son, Jesus Christ's name. Thank God. Amen and amen. Well, praise the Lord, people of God. Again, I bring you greetings. Apostle Flowers of Repair the Breach International Ministry. And I want to minister to you on tonight concerning that Satan. Amen. Yes, I'm talking about Satan, the devil. Amen. Who desires to have you. And it just don't start when you give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. It starts when you are in your mother's womb that the enemy desires to have you. Many of you that may be listening on this line on tonight, you are a product of where the enemy had wanted to try to abort you in your mother's womb, where the enemy may have wanted to try to kill you in your mother's womb, or maybe your mother was on drugs or had some kind of addiction in operation in her life when she was pregnant with you. And the enemy desire is to have you. And it just only not only start, amen, like I said, just from there when you give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. It start out from the womb. And when you're born into this world, we're born into sin and we're shaped into iniquity. It's not until we go through the regeneration process of confessing Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior when we regenerated, amen, and born again and filled with the Holy Spirit of God, amen. And that's when we begin to operate in the newness of life, and that's when we begin to become new creatures, where old things are passed away and all things have become new. But I want to minister to you from Luke, the 22nd chapter. If you have your Bibles, just go with me to Luke, the 22nd chapter, starting at the 30. I'm going to read the 31st and the 32nd verse. I'm going to read from the King James Version, and then I'm going to read from the Amplified Version, this particular passage here in Scripture. And the Word of God reads as follows: And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you, I pray for thee, that thy faith fail you not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Now the Amplified Version reads like this: Simon, Simon, Peter, listen. Satan has asked excessively, that all of you be given up to him out of the power and the keeping of God, that he might sift all of you like grain. But I have prayed especially for you, Peter, that your own faith may not fail. And when you yourself have turned again, strengthen and establish your brethren. And so we are familiar with this passage of scripture here where Jesus began to turn to Peter and began to let him know how the enemy desired to have him, how the enemy desired him, how the enemy wants him. See, the enemy, he knows when there's a call of God upon your life and when you are chosen by the Lord. He gets an inkling. A lot of times we know that the enemy, he follows the family line. You know, he's like the ancient. You know, he's been around for a long time. He was here from the beginning. And so what happened is there are familiar spirits that travel down through the family line. And so if there have been, you know, in your family line, if there's a family line of pastors or evangelists or prophets or ministers, you know, in the family line, so the enemy assigns spirits to your family line to hinder or to block or to make sure that the assignment do not be fulfilled, that it be aborted, and that those that are carrying the mantle, that they will drop the ball and that they won't fulfill the mandate of God upon their life. And so that's what the enemy comes to do. So what do? He comes and sift them. He comes to bring things through generation. That's why I like to deal with generational curses and stuff. And so the enemy plagues families and homes and so on, you know, with this. So if he can bring things to hinder, if he can bring things to bring discouragement and disappointment and all these various things in the family line, sickness and disease, and if you, especially if you're called by God and you don't have faith to believe God that you're an overcomer, amen, through Jesus Christ who loves you and so on and cannot conquer, amen, that which the enemy bring your way and throw your way, what's going to happen? You end up getting discouraged. You end up getting despondent. You end up getting, you know, off focus and distracted. You end up getting being, you know, driven like the sea. As James talked about, you know, you wave back and forth. One minute you believe God, the next minute all you're doubting and so on. But I'm talking about these are people of God. I'm talking about these are people in the church that are wavering like this. I'm not talking to the world. I'm talking to the people of God that is doing this. But God wants to bring stability in the lives of his people. God wants us to walk in that place of maturity, because that's what he's doing in these last days. He's bringing forth that maturity to the body of Christ. And we have to be mature in the things of God. And we have to walk in understanding and with the knowledge of God, and that we have to know how to effectively use our weapon of warfare even against the enemy when the enemy comes and he wants to come and sift us. You see, the enemy tries to sift us through our situation and try to sift us through our circumstances and situations to sift us. And like I said, if you're going through in your finances, if you're going through different things in your life, and that's a sifting that is taking place. And what happened is you're distracted by it, you're troubled by it. Why, everybody knows that you need money and resources to get through, to make it. You need to pay bills and stuff. And a lot of times you're juggling bills. You're saying, well, I'm going to pay this, I'm going to do this from one thing and shift here and so on and everything. And that's not a life, that's not the way to live. That's kind of like disheartening. That's kind of like it brings stress and pressure, and then you can't be your best in God. You can't flow or minister how God would have you to minister or to flow. Why? Because you're distracted. Why? Because you're going through some things. Things are going through in your mind and stuff, and you're worried about the cares of life is creeping in and everything. And so what the enemy's doing, he's using that to try to sift you and bring all these different things into your life. But remember, you have a promise from God. Remember that God has promised you, and God wants you to stand upon his word, and God wants you to trust him and to believe him, and that's where faith kicks in at. And God wants us to exercise our faith, and there's the word of God, so we go from faith to faith and from glory to glory. There are those of you that are listening to me on tonight. God is increasing your faith. God is elevating. God wants to elevate your faith. God wants to bring your faith into another place. And a lot of times we pray and we say, Lord, increase my faith, Lord, increase my faith. Well, when you pray, Lord, increase my faith, do he actually increase your faith, or there are circumstances and situations that is stirred up around you that will put you in a position where you have to believe God, amen, for more that will cause your faith to be increased. And a lot of times that is the question right there. And basically, what it is, saints of God. God will allow circumstances and situations to be stirred up even the more for you to trust him and to believe him, because what he's doing, he's increasing your faith. God is answering your prayer, what you have prayed for, what you have believed him for, especially if you pray, Lord, give me more patience. I need more patience. Is God just going to give you patience, or he's going to cause a circumstance, there's going to be a circumstance or a situation where the enemy is using somebody to come up against you, to irritate you, to nag you, or whatever the case may be, in order for patience to begin to have a perfect work on the inside of you. Usually that be the case, where it end up being somebody else, amen, that is being used by the enemy, and so that fruit can be in operation in your life so that you can increase in patience. Amen. But anyway, in the Word of God, Satan desired to have Peter, and because Peter had received a revelation from God that Jesus was the Christ, that he was the Son of the living God. And any time that you get a revelation from the Lord, any time that the eyes of your understanding is enlightened, know that the enemy is coming for you. He's coming after you, because that's more of a weapon of war against the enemy that you can use against him, that he don't want you to know about or wants you to be ignorant of, and that you can use against his kingdom. And so he don't want you to do that. So that's why he fights you, and that's why he wants you to be discouraged. That's why he wants you to be fearful and afraid of him and begin to back up. But I'm here to tell you on tonight, do not back up from the enemy. The Lord is with you. He promised you. God, allow the Lord to take you through this process in your life that you're going through. Allow the Lord to take you through this transition that you're experiencing in your life. And I'm talking to some of you that are called to ministry, some of you that are called to be pastors, some of you that are called to be in the fivefold ministry gift. You're experiencing a transition right now. There's some things you have been going through. You've been going through even physically, even in your body. And the reason being because God's going to begin even to use you in the area of healing, the area that you've been suffering in the most, the area that you've been attacked in the greatest is going to be the area that God is going to anoint you in and that the Lord is going to use you in. And remember, you can't take it personal. You can't look at it, as woe is me, or I'm going through, or get into a place where you went to, a pity party and everything, and begin to whine and cry about your situation and what you're going through and everything. No, what you're going through is not for you. You got to look at what you're going through is not for you. It's for somebody else. You're paying a price for somebody else. You're going through for somebody else's deliverance, somebody else's breakthrough. You're paying a price, amen, that somebody else can be free. And some of you that are listening right now, you're called to minister to the multitude, to minister to the masses. So the greater the test, amen, the greater the things that you go through, the greater the anointing that is being released upon your life, the greater the attack that the enemy come in at you, especially when you experience persecution. You're being slandered, you're being talked about, you're being lied on, you're being abused and used. And the Word of God declares, Jesus said, a servant is not above his master. He said, if I went through, you're going to go through too. If they hated me, they're going to hate you too. The world's going to hate you too. And you're going to go through. A lot of times we think that we're exempt from going through, and that we don't have to, we shouldn't have to go through these different things and stuff. But saints of God, the Word of God said, if you suffer with me, then you shall reign with me. And I don't know about you, but I want to reign with Jesus Christ. And so I look at it. I know it hurts. It don't feel good. Yes, I mean, pain don't feel good. You ask that something got to be wrong with you if you say this feel good. Something going on with your mind, something going on with your thought. If pain feel good to you, you enjoy being in pain, excruciating pain or something like that. But nobody likes to be in pain. Nobody likes pain. But as the Word of God said, that we go through for him. We're going to reign with him. We're going to be blessed. Amen. God's going to use us mightily when we pay a price for him. And we're not thinking about ourselves. We're not being self-centered. We're not allowing the enemy to get us into a place that we're self-righteous, because a lot of times when God is anointing the people of God, anointing us and stuff, and then sometimes pride want to kind of creep in because, oh, look at me. The Lord is using me mightily. I'm moving in miracles, signs, and wonders. I have arrived. And I'm just speaking from experience, saints of God. I won't walk around talking like that, but my mind and my attitude was like that many, many years ago in the mid-90s. during I was going through a season of trial and testing and going through a relationship, going through in every area of my life and so on, and everything. God had to humble me because I was had an attitude because of the teaching and during that time of who I was sitting under at that time. Basically, their teachings were based off of how much you gain was godliness. And the Word of God declares that godliness is not gain, because you gain this thing, this don't determine your godliness in God or your walk in God, or that God's approval is upon you because you're gaining all this, and you can be jacked up, messed up, full of pride and everything, and then you feel like because I'm gathering up all this material stuff, oh, it must be God's approval. You know, God's, you know, his hand, you know, is upon me. I wouldn't be getting all these things and so on if God wasn't blessing me. That was the attitude that I had, saints. That is what I was being taught. So God had to get all that stuff out of me. God had to humble me. And the moment I had a situation with somebody, they said something to me, and then I turned around in response to them because they said something to me that I didn't like. You know, this was years ago. And so I said, well, God must be blessing me. The hand of God must be upon my life and must be blessing me, because I wouldn't be having all these things. I wouldn't have this, you know, this nice car, and I wouldn't have this and that, and have this nice paying job that I'm working at and everything. And that was the wrong thing that could come up out of my mouth, and that gave the enemy opportunity right there to come in because of pride. Amen. The Word of God talks about pride. God hates pride. God hates haughtiness. God hates arrogancy, you know, that stinks in the nostril of God. So we as saints of God, it should not be among us. We should always walk in humility. We should always walk in meekness and lowliness, and walk humble, and then before, not only before the Lord, but before the people of God, because easily we forget where God has brought us from. And easily we forget that the mess and stuff that we were in, and that God delivered us out of, and everything. And the Word of God says that a man's life does not consist of the abundance of that which he has. Jesus said that. Our life does not consist of that. So I was thinking, because I gathered up all this stuff and everything, that, again, that God was with me and so on. But I thank God for his mercy and his grace. I thank God for that season of my life that he had took me through, where he had to humble me and teach me, you know, the right way and everything. God wants us to have things. God wants us to be blessed. God wants us to have the best. God wants us to prosper. But he don't want these things to have us. And he don't want us to get caught up in mammon. The Word of God said, you know, we cannot serve two masters. You can't, you know, have him and have mammon. You know, either you're going to serve one and hate the other, or you're going to love one and despise the other. It's either or. There's no in between. And so I want to encourage you to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength. And if you find yourself pulling, you know, that way, getting caught up like that, or if the enemy, you know, got you walking in a place like that, you know, just repent and ask God to help you to walk in humbleness and humility, you know, help you with pride, and help you, because a lot of times, you know, in the church we can be self-righteous. We can start, you know, pointing the finger and judging people and so on and everything. And like I say, we forget where God has brought us from and what he has done for us. We have to come the same way. Somebody had to cast our devils out. Somebody had to take time to labor with us, to show forth love, you know, unto us, and automatically after we done got our deliverance, God washed us and cleansed us with his blood, you know, with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we start growing in the faith and getting strong in the things of God and in the Word of God and so on and everything, and then how be it a self-righteous spirit creep in, and then next person that come in through the door, we're judging them, we're chasing them out of the church, we're dressing them up instead of letting the Holy Ghost deal with them and work with them. We're trying to be the Holy Ghost. We're trying to be God in their life, instead of loving on them and bringing them in and teaching them the Word of God and bringing forth deliverance into their life and showing them the love of God and letting the Holy Ghost begin to bring forth operation. You know, we're scaling the fish before we can even get the fish out of the water. First, you got to get the fish out of the water before you can even scale the fish. So basically, as you hear me saying, saints of God, begin to show forth love, begin to love them, begin to take time out with them and pray for them, encourage them, and so on and everything. Then as the Holy Spirit begin to move and begin to operate in their lives, then that brings conviction, and then that brings forth deliverance, and then that brings forth all of them, that this is how I ought to act, this is how I ought to dress, and so on and everything, my appearance and so on and everything. The Holy Spirit began to deal with them and everything. But anyway, getting back into the Word of God, in 2 Corinthians actually the first Peter, the first chapter, and I'm going to read the 5th through the 8th verse. The Word of God says here, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Some of you are experiencing heaviness. You're going through manifold temptations. You're not just going through one temptation is not coming at you there, but there are various different kinds of temptations that you are experiencing in your life. And sometimes if we don't have an understanding to the Word of God, and sometimes if we don't know what's going on in our life, we can get it mixed up and we can think and feel like, well, you know, it's God. God is tempting me. No, the Word of God declares in James, God don't tempt any man. He cannot tempt any man with sin because God don't know sin. So he's not going to tempt you. It's the enemy that comes to tempt you. God would test you, but it's the enemy that tempts you. And many of you are experiencing a manifold temptation in your life. You're experiencing heaviness. But verse 7 says here that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perish. Now listen here, the trial of your faith. Think about the word trial. When you think about the word trial, you think about being on trial. You think about how the court system is set up and everything, and you have them, a person that goes to court, and their case is pending. And so, you know, they have to go before the jury and so on, and it gets to the point now it have to go on trial. And basically, you know, you're on trial. And basically what it is that you constantly, did you not know that your faith is constantly on trial each and every day? You're on trial, and that the enemy, he's an accuser of the brethren, and he's going before God each and every day accusing you, making accusations against you, and so on and everything. So you're on trial each and every day. But thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ that's standing in the gap, that he's the mediator for us, and saying, you know, Father, forgive them. No, I died for that one. No, Lord, I paid the price for this one. Lord, I shed my blood for this one. He's our advocate. Because it's set up, the enemy operate like an attorney, basically. A defense, put it like, not a defense attorney, but he's like the one that's coming after you. A man want to accuse you, like I said, and try to find you to the point where to find you guilty and so on and everything. And a lot of times we can fall short of the glory of God. We can miss the mark and know that we did wrong and know that we have sinned and guilty of what we have done and everything. But thank God for the blood, and we're not out to take that for granted. And I want to encourage you, even on tonight, even if you're falling short, even if you have missed the mark, even if the enemy have tempted you and you have gave into that temptation and into that sin, I want to encourage you to repent on tonight and just ask the Lord to forgive you and to wash you and to cleanse you and shake the dust off and turn away, amen, and walk, amen, in the ways of the Lord and walk away. A lot of times you hear people say, oh, you know, turn 360 degrees. That's not going to work, because if you're turning 360 degrees, you're going in a circle, you're going right back to where you started from. No, you're supposed to go in a 180-degree turn, a right angle, so to speak. Go the right way, amen, 180-degree from the enemy, and that's what the Lord wants you to do. But anyway, it says here in the Word of God that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perish, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. And basically here in the Word of God, you're going to go through the fire. Some of you are experiencing the fire of God. You're being tried in the fire, but God said your faith is much more precious. Even all these things that we're looking at, these things, these outer things, these material things, is temporal. It's going to perish. Even our outward appearance, our bodies, you know, it's going to perish, amen. But our inward, as the Word of God said, is renewed day by day. And that's what's taking place. That's what's happening. Our spirit man, our inner man, is being renewed. Even though all these different things around us is passing away, it's perishing, it's being done away with, amen. But again, the Spirit of God on the inside of us is being revived and renewed through the Word of God and through our time of praying, through our time of fasting and communion with the Lord. We're strengthening our spirit, man. We're strengthening our inner man. A lot of times when you would think about fasting is not for God. Fasting is for us. Fasting shows what's on the inside of us. what's going on with us. Sometimes there can be things going on inside of us that we're not aware of that we don't see. But that when we begin to fast and that we begin to consecrate ourselves unto the Lord, these things begin to come up, and these things begin to come up to the surface, and then we begin to see, oh, I didn't know I was like this. I didn't know I had a messed up attitude. I didn't know I was, you know, angry. I didn't know I was dealing with the spirit of frustration, or I didn't know that there was some envy there, or there's some jealousy there. I didn't know I act in this manner and so on and everything. And so that's what that does. It flushed that stuff up, and it brings forth, allowed the Lord to be able to bring forth deliverance into our lives. So, but here, the enemy, again, was trying the faith of, put it like this, of Peter. Peter went through, Peter fell off, which we know about, but yet, that's why the Lord spoke that word into his life, that his faith will fail him not because he prayed for him. Know that you got somebody praying for you, that you got somebody standing in the gap for you. That's why you have the men of God, the fivefold ministry gift, amen, that is interceding for you. You have a prophetic intercessor that you don't even know about, that you're unaware, that is praying for you somewhere across the globe, somewhere that is calling out your name in the spirit. That's why it's very important to be filled with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in new tongues and in your heavenly language. Amen. Like I said, you, those of you that may heard the broadcast on last Monday, and as I was sharing with you, when you know not what you ought to pray for, the Holy Spirit make the Spirit of God make intercession for you, amen, according to the perfect will of God. So you praying in the Spirit, you can be praying back the hand of death for a loved one. You can be praying for someone's deliverance, amen, as you begin to pray in the Spirit of God in your unknown language unto the Lord. That's why it's very important to pray more in your heavenly language than you do in your earthly language and everything. But anyway, the Lord Jesus, he let Peter know that I pray for you already and that your faith fail you not. And during this time, amen, that God don't want your faith to fail you. God wants you to be encouraged in him. And then you just, at times, you just have to encourage yourself in the Lord. Not all the time you're going to get that encouragement that you have been looking for from your prayer partner, or that you've been looking for you know, from, you know, the you know, the church, or the you know, from your leader or something like that. A lot of times God has set situations up that you can get in contact with your prayer partner, or get in contact with your friend or someone that you would pray with, or a lot of times look for words of encouragement from, and everything, because God wants you to trust him. God wants you to believe him. God wants you to your faith to be developed in him, so that as when he strengthened you, that you would be able to go back and strengthen the brethren. Remember, he told him to go back and strengthen the brethren. So Jesus let him know right there that it's not about you. It's about other people, amen, that you're being prepared for someone else. Amen. In 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter and the 8th through the 10th verse, the Word of God says that we are troubled on every side, yet not in distress. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus might be made manifested in our body. You hear that? The life of Jesus. That which you're going through, God is not going to allow you to go under, because God wants to be manifested in your body. God wants his presence, his glory to rest upon you, so that he can use you mightily. That's why you're going through this. You can't focus in on you know, what, you know, your circumstance, your situation, or they doing this to me, that, you know, they doing that to me. And but God wants you to focus on, amen, that is his glory. Amen. The Word of God said that these light afflictions cannot compare to the glory that shall be revealed in you. Amen. God wants to reveal his glory in you, but you have to pay a price, saints of God. A lot of times we don't want to pay a price, we don't want to go through. In Daniel 7:25, it said that Satan comes to wear out the saints. He's just doing his job. He knows that his time is short, and he's just doing, you know, what he only have a short time to do. And like I said, you know that you're called by God, and it starts from the mother's womb, and it starts, amen, from when you were a young child. If you was one that dealt with nightmares and being tormented, you was molested, you was abused, this was all assignment of the enemy. You know, if you was mentally abused, physically abused, and everything, the enemy try to get hold of you and try to sow seeds into you, you know, as a you, because he is afraid of you. He was terrified of you. So if I can get you young, if I couldn't get you and kill you in your mother's womb, but if I can distort your view, distort your perception of life at a young age, you know, mess your mind up, mess you up and everything, then you would not know who you are. You would not know your identity. You would not be able to fulfill the purpose and the plans or the call of God. You would not even know who you are in God. Why? Because you're messed up. Your mind is messed up. All you doing is going through life thinking about how they hurt you, how they molested you, how they abused you, how they wronged you. There are those that have went through life 60, 55, 60 years old, still holding on to unforgiveness and bitterness to someone that did something to them over 40 years ago. And they still holding on to that and so on and not really moving forward. So if you allow your past to grip you and to hinder you, it will stop you from moving forward in your future. And that's why Paul said, forgetting those things that are behind. So if you keep thinking about those things, amen, that are behind you, the path, then you will not move forward. And that's why he said, forgetting those things that are behind, reaching for those things that are ahead, I press towards the mark of the prize of the high call and that which is in Christ Jesus. That's what you're doing. You're pressing towards the mark. You're pressing towards the high call. You're pressing towards your purpose. And it was this one prophet. He shared a vision that he had from the Lord. He said that God took him to a graveyard. And he was wondering, why did you bring me here to this graveyard? God told him, look at all these headstones here. Look at these, you know, these tombs, these headstones and so on. Hey, look at these mausoleums and everything, and just, you know, take a look around this graveyard. So he took a look and like, okay. And God began to tell him, you know, why he brought him there and why he's looking at all these graves. God said, this is a result of people that went through life never having accomplished anything in him, never, ever leaving a making a mark or leaving a legacy behind or doing anything in him. They just went through life, they lived, and they died. That's all they did. And I had determined in my mind when I came into the things of God, I did not want to live a lie. I knew I was sent here with a purpose. And I'm like, you know, I didn't want to go through life, amen, not fulfilling the will of God, not fulfilling the call of God on my life. That's my passion. That's my desire. And that's my desire for the people of God, for them to fulfill the call of God and the mandate that is upon their life. That's why I push the people of God, amen. That's why I encourage the people of God. And I just thank God, amen, for the people of God, that he give me a desire to do that, to push them and to move them into their purpose, into their destiny, and so on, and get the gifts of God stirred up on the inside of them that they don't even know that is there. And I said, God, I don't want to be one of those ones that go through life, have not make a difference, have not touched no one's life, and just live and just die. You have people that did that. I have people in my family that prematurely left here was taken out by the enemy, that went through life, have not accomplished anything, didn't make a difference or anything, and the enemy took them out, they died. And I said, I do not want that to be my life story, and so on and everything. And you have those in the church that's looking for the rapture, and not saying I'm not looking for that, for the return of the Lord, but my thing is, God, delay your coming. Why? Because, God, I have work, there's work to be done. God, I've not yet fulfilled all that which you have called for me to do. And that's the attitude that we ought to have. We're not in this thing for ourselves. Amen. Sometimes we have those in the church saying, I just want my family to be blessed and just me, and we just go on, be saved and go on to heaven. No, we're supposed to want to see other people saved. We're supposed to want to see this dying world, amen, give their lives unto the Lord. Except we don't allow our light to be shined, how could they come out of darkness if our light is not shining before those that are in darkness? So we cannot hide our light. Don't hide your light, saints of God. Amen. Use what God has given you. Don't be afraid to minister to someone else. How would you know except you don't step out and share the word of God with someone else? I know that my time is just about far spent here, but in 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, 11 through the 15th verse, it talks about every man's work will be tried by faith. So I want to encourage you just to write these scriptures down, go back in your own time, begin to read them and everything, but your works is going to be tried by fire. Amen. So, but in that passage of scripture say, but yet, even though, you know, if your works were built up on wood or stubble or straw, something like that, and it's burnt up, but you yourself yet will be saved. Amen. But I want my stuff to be built upon God, that when it is tried in the fire, it is still going to be standing. And that's why, you know, I have a heart to build the kingdom of God, not trying your bones as building their own kingdom. and not building the kingdom of God. You have those that's in it for the wrong reason. Their motives are wrong. They're all about money, and it's not about the people. It's not about the kingdom of God. We're supposed to be building people. It's not about the building that is made with hands, but it's about the people of God. You are the church. We are the church. Jesus is not coming back for a building. He's coming back for a body. He's not coming back for a denomination. He's coming back for a body. He's not coming back for the Caucasians or just the African Americans or just for the Jews or for the Asians. No, he's coming back. The Word of God said he's coming back for a body. That's what he's coming back for. And Jesus, he came and he died once. He's not coming back to die again for somebody else. He's not coming back to die for another race. He already did it once. So, again, when he's coming back for a body. Again, as you heard me say that in Zechariah 3, 1 through 4, Satan, this is when Zechariah was having having a vision, amen, of the Lord, and he saw Satan standing there beside Joshua, resisting him, accusing him, and he got rebuked for it. And the Lord was standing, the angel of the Lord, was standing there and had rebuked him, and also the Lord God rebuked Satan himself, amen, for accusing him. And it says in that passage, it was talking about it, and I'm kind of paraphrasing some, that, Joshua had dirty garment on, and the angel of the Lord changed his garment and put a white garment on him. He was clean, and also, was charging him, amen, of the responsibility that he was supposed to have been doing for the Lord. I tell you, when the Lord clean you up and anoint you and do a work in your life, he's anointing you for service. He's putting you to work. God did not anoint you just for you or just to say, oh, I'm anointed by God. God's anointing upon me. God did not give you a gift for you and saying, oh, this is my gift, my ministry. No, it's the ministry of God. It's the gifts of God. Freely we have received, freely we ought to give. We're supposed to give back to the saints of God and to help those that are needed and use the gift of God that God has given us. In Mark 10 and 29, I'm closing with that. In that chapter, it talks about leaving all. He having left wife, children, houses, land, and all these things for his name's sake shall gain it. 100-fold with persecution and eternal life to come. A lot of times we don't want to give up anything. We want to hold on to everything. And what are you willing to sacrifice? What are you willing to give up for the Lord? Are you willing to pay the price for him? Are you willing to give up something for him? Amen. If you give up for him, he said that you're going to receive a 100-fold blessing, but know that persecution comes with it. It's all part of the package with the anointing and to walk in those deep places and those high places in God. I know we pray, God, I want to walk in higher heights and deeper depths in you, but there's a price that you have to pay for. There's more things that you're going to go through to walk in those places in God. There's a life, a style that you have to live that you can't do what everybody else is doing. And you have those that would look at you funny and say, oh, you think that you're all that or better than me? But no, it's because of what God has called me to and the life that I must live. No, I don't think I'm better than you. This is the walk that God has want me to walk. This is what God has prepared for me and for my life that I have to walk in order to maintain and to walk in the sharpness in the Spirit of God and in the things of God and in the anointing of the Lord in order, amen, to stay in this place in God and for me to operate out of this anointing that is upon my life, that God has placed upon my life and everything. So as the Word of God talks about walking circumspectly, amen, that's how we ought to walk in the things of God. Amen. Well, saints of God, my time is just about up. I just want to give you an opportunity for those of you that may be new listeners that are on the line on tonight that are listening by way of telephone, cell phone, or through the internet or through Skype. This is an opportunity for you to confess the Lord Jesus Christ. All you have to do is just repeat the Word of God according to Romans 10 and 9. The Word of God said if you confess with your mouth and believe with your heart that God has raised Jesus Christ from the dead, that you would be saved. I want you to go back and read it for yourself in the Bible and the Word of God. But I want you to begin to repeat after me. Just say, Lord Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, the Messiah who came in the flesh to destroy the works of the devil. That you died on the cross for my sins and rose again from the dead. I now confess all my sins and repent, and I claim forgiveness and cleansing. And I believe that your blood cleanses me now from all my sins. Thank you for redeeming me and cleansing me, justifying me, and sanctifying me in your blood. Amen. Turn it back over to you, Evangelist. Amen. If you want to open up
Glory
the line.
Glory to God. Glory to God. Yes, I am on the line, Apostle. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And if you said that prayer and you're on the phone lines or over the internet, you can go to www.kingdomdaughters1@yahoo.com and let us know. We would love to send you a Bible or an MP3 version of the Bible. Glory to God. And welcome into the body of Christ. The angels are rejoicing. And we are also rejoicing. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. And also, Kingdom Builder International is having a prophetic conference in the Detroit, Michigan area, the end of August. We will let you know the dates and where it's at if you would like to donate or sponsor someone so they can come out to the conference, one of Kingdom Builders International members. Glory to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. And at this time, I will open up the prayer line for prayer or comments, or if, even if you have a testimony, a praise report, come forth. Glory to God. Prophetess Teresa, are you on the line?
Yes, I'm here, Evangelist.
Glory to God.
We just praise God for the word that went forth tonight. And truly, as this is my second time being blessed with the apostle, just coming forth and just flowing with the Spirit of God. And I just want to thank everyone for the lines are filled up. The board is filled. And I just praise God. And I pray that everyone on this line that you received something tonight, because a whole lot of jewels was given out.
Yes.
And I just bless you, Apostle, and even your wife, Prophetess Angel, for truly
Amen.
We keep you lifted up in prayer. And
thank you, Jesus.
We are on the lines. We are on prayer every Tuesday and Friday on our prayer line. And I just want to give that number out, because everyone that come on Blog Talk, we do stand in the gap for the pastors, the ministries. These are seeds that are sown into the kingdom of God. And when I say the kingdom of God, to develop to, so that you can do the work that God have already mandated for us to do, so that you'll know your purpose, you'll know your calling, you'll know the mission that God has set before you, and that you'll move with fire.
Yes.
Amen.
And these lines are designed for the listeners. So we want to encourage you to pull on the anointing that God has placed before us, so that you can press in into his presence and you can hear the voice of God, and you'll know exactly what you need to be doing in the season that you need to do it. So I just want to thank you, Apostle Flowers, and just send blessings and much love and appreciation to you and your ministry and all that you're doing. And I just pray that God bless your hands and even your ministry hands, everyone that is blessed with your presence, that they're blessed with the same mandate, the same anointing, and that every word that you sow into them, that it will reap a harvest.
Amen. What's that conference prayer line number?
The conference prayer line is 218-895-0280, and the passcode is the word pray, 7729. We're there at 5 o'clock Central Time and 6 o'clock Eastern Time. So we're there for 1 hour, just standing in the gap. So I want to encourage, and we do communion as well. For the Lord said, as much as we do it in remembrance of him. So, and then he also said, it's bring healing for our bodies. And healing is the children's bread. So we just want to encourage everyone, you know, get out of that bed and sow into not just your life, but your family life, your pastor's life, the apostle that God placed in your life, the prophet, the teacher, the evangelist, and even just the world, the universe, Jerusalem. So we intercede, and I just want to encourage everyone to join us, because we're going to be there as long as God allow us to.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you for those words of encouragement and also keeping us in prayer. Amen. That's why we need intercessors. Amen. The men of God, the women of God need intercessors that are praying to pray for them, because you don't know the warfare that we go through and that we experience. We experience double the attack of a lay member. Amen. Not only we're fighting the demonic spirits and forces that come up against you, but we have to come up and fight against demonic spirits that are assigned to us to come up against us. Amen. So we're doing double work and everything. So we need your prayers. We solicit your prayers and everything, and we appreciate your prayers and guys praying for us and interceding for us through your time of prayer. We definitely need it, and we just thank God for you. Amen.
God bless you.
Amen. God bless you.
God bless. If anyone on the line that has a prayer request or a comment, you may come forth now.
Amen. Don't be scared.
Hello?
Amen. God bless you. Hello, how you doing?
Hello, I'm fine. My name is Shirley, and I'm from Detroit. And I just want to say that word went forward with so much of power and conviction. I just want to thank you and bless you in Jesus' name.
Amen. Did you have a prayer request, anything that I can agree with you? Or that you need something you need God to do for you?
No, not particularly, no.
Okay, well, I just bless you, too, in the name of Jesus. God, I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in her life. God, I speak strength into her life, supernatural strength, God, even to her body. God, I speak to her body, Lord. I release healing right now will take place, God, in the name of Jesus, from the crown of her head to the soles of her feet, God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you for your ministering angels ministering unto her right now in Jesus' mighty name. And God, amen and amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you.
Thank you.
Thank you for those encouraging words.
Praise God. Praise God. I'd like to thank God for your ministry, and it's really helped me, and I thank you for the praying for me, and I'm thanking God and giving him the praise because I'm feeling much better, and I just thank you for the prayers and for you to continue the good work that you are doing. God bless you and your family. And I'd like you to pray for my son-in-law, a sister.
Okay, you should pray for your son-in-law?
Yeah, my son-in-law's sister. I think her name is Elaine, but I'm not quite sure.
Okay. Well, Father, I disagree right now in prayer, God, with his mother concerning the sister, Lord, of her son-in-law. God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, you know the circumstance, you know the situation, you know what's going on, God. You know all things, Lord, in the name of Jesus. So, Lord, we lift this person, we lift her up before you right now, God. We ask that you will move by your spirit. We commission the angel of the Lord to move right now, God, concerning, Father God, her sister right now. Lord, we claim her, God, right now, even for the kingdom of God. And thank you for the work, God, that you've called for her to do, God.
Yes.
But we just pray that assignment, that fulfillment will be done, Lord, concerning her life, her purpose, her destiny. We command the enemy to loose her and to let her go.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus, God, and whatever she's facing, God, we thank you for turning around right now for your glory and for the kingdom of God. We
yes.
thank you, Lord, for a praise report. We thank you, Lord, for a testimony. And most of all,
yes.
God, we release the love of God
yes.
into her life, God, that she will experience your love, the
yes.
love of a father, God,
yes.
in the name of Jesus, to know what your love is, God, in the name
yes.
of Jesus, that you love her and that you care for her, God.
Yes.
And I just come against suicidal thoughts in the name of Jesus over her life right now. And I speak the peace of God in Jesus' mighty name. And I lose peace even upon this mother here that is on the line. Lord, I pray 100%, God, 100, that you be 110%, God, in the name that you will do exceedingly abundantly above all that she can ask for. Think, Father, that you will encourage her, God. I come against discouragement, disappointment, God. I break the powers of the enemy off of her life right now.
Thank
this day,
you.
I release the joy of the Lord into her
Thank
life right now, which is her strength.
Thank
in
you.
Jesus' mighty name. God said, just begin to praise him as you begin to praise him,
yes,
as you begin to bless him, because there's some things that you've been standing in need of, that you've
yes.
been believing God for. You've been needing him to move for you financially. God said, begin to pray for him, begin to praise him, begin to bless him. And even
yes.
as you begin to do that, amen,
yes.
the blessings are going to be released into your life. The blessings are going to come down.
Amen.
And the only way that's going to happen is through you praising him. You're blessing him. You're thanking him. And don't allow the enemy to cause you to murmur or to complain, because that will hinder, that will stop, and that will delay what God wants to do in your life and the blessings that God wants to release into your life. So begin to bless him.
Amen.
Begin to praise him.
Amen.
Begin to thank him.
God bless you.
Amen. It is done. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you.
Amen. Glory to God.
Praise God.
Glory to God. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you, Father. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Thanks to God. As you heard me say earlier, God is a miracle, you know, working God. God is still performing miracles today. He's the same yesterday,
yes,
today, and forever. God, his miracles have not ceased.
Yes, yes.
Yes, Lord. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Well, the lines are still open. If anyone else wants to come forth, you can come forth now. Glory to God.
Amen. Our time is winding up. Amen. God bless you.
God bless you. This is Brother Johnny Miller. I just thank God for the apostle, for the word. It was on time. Everything you said was just on time. And I was just going over 1 Peter about the gold. And that really stuck with me, because Christ was that gold.
Amen.
And it said that you will be genuine and that you will prove. And he was proven to be that genuine love, to be that genuine gold. And now it's our time, you know, as a body of Christ, to just follow his footsteps. You know, he had prepared the way. He had already did it. Now it's our time to be that light in his world. People are really seeking to see that light. And we got to really encourage one another and just stand in the gap and pray for each other. And when one of the ministers fall, the body of Christ, we got to cover our brothers. We got to restore them back to you know, from where they're falling, and not give
Amen.
Up on them, and not write them off, but encourage them and bring them back to standard, you know. So I really appreciate that word. It's not in vain. Keep up the good work, and I love you, and God bless you and your family.
Amen. I love you too, man of God. Thank God for you. I just bless you in the name of Jesus, and I just thank God for you and for those encouraging words and what the Lord is doing and what he's about to do in your life. And there's a shift that is taking place in your life, and God's going to begin to restore everything that the enemy has taken and have stolen from you. And God's going to cause success to come forth into your life, and it's going to begin to prosper you. Everything that you lay your hands forth to do, God's going to begin to bless it. God's going to begin to prosper it. God's going to begin to prosper you in all your ways, and again, to have you, to call you to walk in good success and much success in your life, and even because of the mandate and the call that is upon your life as well. And I thank God for that shepherd call, that pastoral call that is upon your life, that you're going to be moving into. You're going to find yourself moving into that quicker and sooner than you expect, sooner than you think, that responsibility is going to come upon you, because that's what God has been preparing you for the people to come, that you will move in that, amen, through that compassion, through that love. Except we have not experienced that, except we have not been through that thing, how can we minister to someone else? How can we show forth love and compassion to someone else, except we have not been, you know, suffered in that area or suffered in that thing? Because if we didn't, we wouldn't be compassion. We wouldn't be loving. You know, we'd be like, okay, well, I just pray for you, bless you in Jesus' name. No, you know what it is to go through. You know what it is to suffer some things. So you're going to labor. You're going to pray. You're going to show that love. You're going to show that compassion. But, you know, that's what the Lord is doing with you, men of God, because you have, you know, a shepherd heart, and God is preparing you and getting you ready for the people to come, that you're going to be shepherding. In Jesus' name, and I just bless you and your household and your family, and I just release much blessings upon you, amen, because again, you're going to begin to move in your time and in your season of what God has had for you and in store for you, in Jesus' name.
Jesus, thank you.
Amen.
Amen.
Excuse me, Evangelist.
Amen.
Evangelist Hannah.
Yes, Pastor.
Okay, one of the lines I muted out, and they sent me a text. They trying to come in.
I was trying to unmute that line, but all the lines is open now.
Okay. The person that wants to come forth, is that you, Sister Tony?
Yes, it is. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Amen. Hey, evangelists and prophets and apostle flowers.
Amen.
I want to come on to ask for prayer on my girlfriend's behalf.
Okay. Amen. Father, we just thank God for you just standing in the gap. And that's what the intercession is what prayer is. We're standing in the gap as if we're that person that is crying out to God, you know, ourselves. So we just thank God for people that are standing in the gap and interceding for all intercessors and those that are believing God for someone else. But, Father, I just pray in agreement right now in the name of Jesus, according to Matthew 18 and 19, Lord. You said, any should come together touching anything here on earth that shall be done of our Father, which is in heaven, God. And we just agree right now in prayer, God, concerning this sister right now, her friend, Lord, which is going through right now and experiencing some things in her life, God. We thank you that there's nothing too hard for you. There's nothing impossible for you, God. And we thank you, Lord, that what you're doing right now, God, that you're drawing her nearer unto you, God, in the name of Jesus. Father, I just pray right now she begin to hear your voice as you're calling her, God, in the name of Jesus, that you're the only one, God, that can move concerning that which she's experiencing, that which she's going through, Lord, in her life right now, God. And I pray right now, God, that she will begin to experience your love, God, in the name that she will experience the love of God flowing in her life, because that's what she's standing in need of right now, God, that she experience the height and the depth and the width, Father, of your love, God, your love that covers a multitude of faults and sins and mistakes, Lord, in the name of Jesus, and that through this, God, it will draw her and bring her closer to you, God, in Jesus' mighty name. And bless my sister Tony, God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I do great and mighty things, Lord, in her life, God. I just come against the hand of the enemy that wants to hinder, God, her ministry, Lord, that wants to try to keep her from coming forth in the things of you. Lord,
yes.
I thank you for the call that is upon her life, God. I just rebuke the hand of the enemy right now in the name of Jesus. And, Father, I just speak that her purpose and her destiny will be fulfilled, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And I just pray the gifts of God be stirred up on the inside of her like never before. And, Lord, I thank you, Lord God, that she will and shall make it through this season and this transition that she's experiencing right now, even in her life, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you, Father God, that you are better for her, so that you want to blow her mind, God, in the name of Jesus. Father, we give you praise for it. God, we give you the glory. We give you the honor. In Jesus' mighty name, thank God, amen and amen.
Yes, Lord.
Amen, and glory
God bless you,
God.
Yes. I don't mean to keep interrupting, but Sister Tony got cut off, and I don't know if she's back on, but she was asking for prayer also for her girlfriend's 15-year-old son that got locked up. And Sister Tony, are you back on the line?
Hello?
Amen, Sister Tony?
Yeah, can you hear me?
We can hear you. You got cut off.
Yeah, oh my Jesus, my phone. Yeah, I was asking, seeking for prayer. I gave her the number. I'm not sure if she called in. But I know the Bible said when two or more touch and agree, it shall be done. And it just really, really hurts my heart to know that the enemy is fighting our young children so hard to keep them out of the will of God, especially when he knows that they have a divine calling on their life. And her son has gotten wrongfully locked up and sitting in a juvenile system now for stuff that he hasn't even done. So I just wanted us to come together, you know, globally and pray, not just for him, but for the children, our children in general.
Yes, God.
Amen. Okay. Father, we agree right now in prayer, God, in the name of Jesus, not only just for this young man, God, that is experiencing right now this unjust deed that was done unto him. God, we thank you that you work all things out and together for the good, and that you're doing it for this young man, God, in the name of Jesus, not just only him, but other young men, other young ladies, God, that may be in the system that is experiencing this, God, and that we thank you, God, for a miracle taking place. Father, we thank you for favor. We thank you for turning this thing around, God. And even through this, God, let him even begin to call even upon your name, God. We thank you for the call that is upon his life, God. We thank you, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, that let him, even while he's experiencing this right now, Lord, you want to minister to him, God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, let him be encouraged. Let him be strengthened, God. Let this be a testimony, God, for the glory and for the kingdom of God, that you would use him as a mouthpiece, God, because the enemy is after the younger generation, God, and the generation that you're calling, God, to that is fearless, God, that generation that is bold, that is not afraid to die, to look death in the face, and that is not afraid, God, and that's who the enemy is after. And, Lord, but you're turning it around. You want to use that for your glory and for the kingdom of God. We thank you for doing that concerning this young man. And we thank you, Lord God, that this is going to be, whatever they are trying to accuse him of, that is going to be thrown out in Jesus' name. Thank God, amen, and amen.
Amen and glory to God. Well, Apostle Flowers will be back on the third Monday, July 17th. He comes on every first and third Monday of the month at 8 o'clock p.m. Glory to God. And I thank you very much, men of God, for allowing God to use you tonight. Glory to God. And if anyone want to listen to the broadcast again, you can go back on the internet website, www.blogtalkradio.com/Kingdom Builders International, and put in the search box, and you can pull up the episodes from tonight and listen, or tell someone to listen. Glory to God, because God is truly talking through his apostles and his prophets at this season and giving us direction. So I just thank you, man of God, and I just bind up any retaliation or backlash from the enemy, Cordy, shout out to Isaiah, that he may try to send out against you or your ministry,
yes,
in the name of Jesus, God. It ain't shot, God. I thank you, Lord God, that the word that the man of God spoke tonight is planted in our heart, and that the enemy cannot snatch it away, God. And I thank you that no weapon formed against him shall prosper, Lord God, and your warring angels is warned on the apostles' behalf, God, in the name of
Jesus.
Yes,
Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Glory to God. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord God. Apostle, also, you having something at your church tomorrow. You could also mention that.
Okay, thank you. First, I just want to thank, again, God, for you having me on and being a guest. And I thank God for those that are listening and supporting, those that are supporting me as well on the line, that came in the line on tonight, or that's listening and may not have said anything. But yes, we're having something tomorrow. It's not going to be our regular Tuesday service, but we're having a special service on tomorrow at our 11201 South Cottage Grove, and that's in Chicago, Illinois. Amen. And also we're having a guest speaker, one of our pastors, amen, from out of state, is going to come and minister the word of God, what God is saying. He has an end-time message, an end-time word, a prophetic word from God. He operates out of a dual mantle, out of the apostolic and out of a prophetic mantle. He operates strongly out of the gifts of God. He's a seer, and he's going to bring a powerful word to the body of Christ on tomorrow at 7 p.m. That's at 11201 South Cottage Grove Avenue in Chicago. We're going to be in the upper room. That's Repair the Breach International Ministry. And if you need more information, either get in contact with me concerning, you can just call. Area code 773-888-3356. That's our church line. If you need directions, you know, how to get there and so on and everything, or you get turned around or lost or something like that, just call that number, 773-888-3356, and we'll be able to help you get there. There's going to be a sign. There's not a sign on the building, but there's going to be a sign on a glass door. You're going to see a limo, a black limousine, stretch limousine parked out front, so that will let you know that you're at the right place when you pull up and everything and stuff like that. Just come on in and walk on upstairs to the upper room. Amen. Praise God.
Praise God. Glory to God. And again, we thank you, men of God, for allowing the Spirit of God to use you. I thank God for everyone that has called in and for all our internet listeners again. And we love you. God love you even more. And good night.
All right, good night. God bless you. Thank you again.
God bless you.
God bless.
God bless.